Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some of the YouTube commenters saying he dogged it after the ball. I didn't really see that. I'm going to try to be as fair as I can. I thought he looked like he was going full speed. He's got long legs, so him running as hard as he can sometimes looks a little goofy compared to other people. Nick Gonzalez, just an ugly airmail of a throw. Not even close. Might have had the play at home, but allows another run to score. Just bad, 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 bad baseball. Ugly, ugly, ugly baseball by the Pirates. And, you know, I think, too, you got to, like, take into consideration, we've tried to parse out how Donnie Kelly has done as a manager. They're still having games like this. And you know what this game feels like a microcosm of early on here? The complete and total gap in difference between these two franchises, right? Mizorowski's the big Brewers pitching prospect, and he's been really good early in his career, and he throws the hell out of the ball. Skeens is, in my opinion, still the best pitcher in baseball. You take a game, though, to Milwaukee, and here comes Paul Skeens suddenly just looking mortal while the Pirates do everything wrong behind him, and yet the Brewers touch up Skeens a little bit, do everything right, and produce runs. Just feels like a complete microcosm of each franchise when I think about it.
It also has to be just so difficult for Skeens each and every start. Now, most of the time, he delivers on his end. But imagine the pressure that you have going into every start, and you in your head, you have to tell yourself, I can't give up more than a run, or else there is a very good chance my team will lose this game. And like that sounds like a joke.
But it's not.
But with the Pirates offense, that is a reality. He probably goes into every start wanting to throw a perfect game or a no-hitter. Yeah, that makes sense, and he's a guy with the ability to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to also have the thought of, yeah, I mean, I might get a few guys who get one through on me. Maybe one guy puts one over the fence. The amount of pressure that he has, knowing that the offense gives him absolutely zero backing, that has to suck.
No, it's got to be tough on the psyche. I would agree with that. Nick Gonzalez has right now in real time an OPS of 854, okay? He is the only guy in the Pirates lineup today who's even over 700. I'm just going to read through to prove your point here. OPS is over 700 on the Brewers. Each one of these guys that I name at worst would be the second best hitter on the Pirates by that metric. Sal Frelick at 743. Jackson Chirio he's at something like 730, I think, just doing the quick math. Christian Yelich is above 800, just barely. Rhys Hoskins he's at like 770. Collins is at 767. Bryce Terang is over 700. You get to Durbin, their third baseman, he's under 700, fine. Ortiz as well is under 600, actually. And then their catcher, Haas, he's over 700. I mean, all but two spots in that lineup are like what you would call at least solid major league hitters, like above average this year, because the league OPS on average is going down. They don't have an easy out in that lineup for him. Maybe one or two. Like, guys who are just going to go down without a fight, almost. The Pirates lineup is comprised entirely of easy outs.
And the guy you're using, Nick Gonzalez, has played about 20 right. games this year. I mean, it's not as if he's played 60 to 70.
Skeens looks way off. We're going to talk more at length about this later in the show. When he gets bounced from this game, I think it's going to be worth talking about. That could be much sooner rather than later, and we'll get into that. Also want to remind you to listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. How about a little update on Steelers wide receivers, Don? It's been a busy couple of hours for Steelers wideouts. Would you like to go with the George Pickens update first or the Deontay Johnson update? Which one tickles your fancy more?
Let's go with George first.
I think this is... So this is, to me, this story, it ends up making a current Steeler, and I would say friend of yours, I would call him friend of the show. We went through this yesterday. Friend of yours, friend of ponies, and I think I'm going to make inroads here with him because of our shared interest in golf. I think that's going to be a goal of mine. This makes Pat Freiermuth look really good, but Pickens, who had said after being traded he would still stay committed to and show up to a camp that a youth camp he had scheduled, is now saying, nope, not going to do it, not going to show up, not going to participate in this thing that I literally told everybody even after the trade I would still do, and Freiermuth is stepping in to make it happen and help run this thing. I'll give you, surprisingly, a quick initial reaction. It probably does suck to be somebody like Pickens who would have otherwise, I would assume, done this if he was still on the Steelers, like no big shakes. To go to a thing like that where there's going to be adults around who know you got traded and who on some level know that you got traded because the team was basically sick of putting up with you, and there might even be some of the older kids there who like understand the basics, it might be awkward and a little uncomfortable, but you still said you were going to do it after you got dealt. Like, that's what makes it worse. If you get, I don't think it's a good look either way. If you get traded and then you say, hey, you know, I got traded, let me talk to one of my teammates, I know this is mine, I might still do it, but I'm not sure, it's in limbo. That's one thing. He committed to it, he recommitted to it, and then he just said, you know what, screw it. Not a great look. And I said this about Pickens, by the way, during his time here. The headaches were all on the field between the lines. That's always, like, always happened when he had pads on and not like away from football. I have no idea, good or bad guy. This one is a not great look column for him.
Yeah, the problem came when he doubled down that he would be there. I mean, if I was a parent who was sending my child to this youth camp and the moment he got traded, I would have been pretty skeptical that it was still happening. But he and his people were the ones that said, no, don't worry about it. George will still come back and do this. Like, he's committed to it. That's where the issue lies here. It's no surprise in the grand scheme of the story that he did back out because we all sort of expected him to. That's kind of his MO, but also he's not here anymore, so it would even be hard to blame him. If he does this right away, I don't think anybody bats an eye. It's okay, it's understandable. He's gone. He's in Dallas. But he said he would be there again after he got traded, and now X amount of parents and their kids for the time being were like, oh, nice, we just either wasted money on this or whatever it may be. Fortunately, though, our guy Pat Freiermuth stepped up, and I think there might even be a couple of other Steelers who
camp. I'm reading the big release, this True Edge Sports that's like putting it on, I guess, and They tear Pickens a new one, and honestly, I think that's the right move there. I think that's fair game. It's immature. I don't know, man. Just go in there and do the camp. Or just say from the start, like, hey, I think there's a way to handle something like that if you're a little embarrassed. I still think it'd be the best look would be to do the camp. Just quietly go to some of your guys that are former teammates and be like, hey, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I'm sure there are going to be kids who specifically wanted to see Pickens, but I think if you go to Freiermuth and go to a couple other guys and say, hey, could you help me out with this? Like, I think we got to like change this quietly. I don't know. There's just a better way to do it if you're going to do it. I think it sounds like he did it in an incredibly slapdash, half-assed way, which I'll tell you what's one story I think this year. He might be good in Dallas. He might. With a better quarterback and a true alpha dog in CeeDee Lamb across from him, he might have a huge season. I have a very hard time, though, envisioning Pickens being so good that we're sitting here going, man, the Steelers really dropped the ball by not figuring out a way to get through to him. Much like the other guy that we're going to mention here in our former Steelers wide receivers turn, Deontay Johnson making news. Warren Sharp tweets this out, among others. Deontay admitting how it went down when he got suspended by the Ravens. They were playing a game, and as Sharp points out, 41-degree weather. Deontay, quote, I wasn't getting into no run plays, no passing plays or nothing. It was cold. End of the third, going into the fourth, they were like, Tay, we need you. I was like, nah, I don't think it's a good idea for me. Like, my legs were already ice cold, and I didn't want to go out there and put bad stuff on film. It's not like I didn't want to go into the game, But leading up to this point, I had been through so much. I just told them I'm not going to go in. So I just sat on the bench, and that's when they suspended me. One of the funniest quotes. We're into, like, the old Chappelle Show skit. What are you going to say? I stomped on Charlie Murphy's couch. Yeah, I stomped on Charlie Murphy's couch territory. It's not like I didn't want to go into the game. 25 words ago, you said you didn't want to go into the game. It's not like I didn't want to go into the game. Reverse. Nah, I don't think it's a good idea for me. Quite literally, you did not want to go in. And here is, beyond that, which is wildly funny, and the fact that he's playing in Cleveland this year, although I assume this was more him saying, you didn't let me get loose and play earlier, so I was tight. That's why they have those stationary bikes. That's why guys who have been sitting on the bench just, like, get warmed up by jogging and get their muscles re-loosened. You imagine if a backup quarterback had to go in like, the fourth quarter because the starter got hurt. He was like, I've been ice cold here, man. I can't throw.
Right, like, what happens if somebody got hurt and they said, hey, man, we need you to go in?
I was absolutely howling, dude, when I read this.
I might just screenshot this whole quote for a time that I don't feel like hosting, and I'll just send it to Craig.
Yeah, you know what? You haven't used me in a week.
Nah, I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't want to make it seem like I don't want to host the show. But, you know, I don't think this is good for me.
It's a laughable response.
Like, so the thing I don't pass through my initial high level of amusement at this, right? The thing I genuinely don't get is why he would just sit there the whole game, presumably not moving and, like, get stiffening up when there are trainers, bikes, and things available to you on an NFL sideline to literally help you get loose.
Yeah, there's zero excuse. I mean, if you're an NFL player, you have presumably a top-of-the-line, like, medical team or
you've got access to everything. You've got access to everything. We can just cut through it right there.
This excuse would be more reasonable if it came from a high school kid, and you wouldn't hear it from a high school kid.
No, because they'd be so excited to get up off the bench. They'd be thrilled. They'd be like, yeah, put me in the game, coach. Also, when he says, I had been through so much leading up to that point. Yes, of your own creation. The person who put you through all the stuff was you. That's like saying, man, that's like burning your house down and saying, well, I've been through so much with my house burning down. Now, I did it deliberately, but I've still been through a lot. Amazing, amazing. And it's 41 degrees. I don't think he was playing in the ice bowl here, okay? There are people listening to this show right now who think 41 degrees is shorts weather. You might be one of them.
I am. Yeah, it's got to be below 40, unless it's like super windy and 41.
Amazing. Just an absolutely amazing quote from Deontay Johnson. The Pickens one actually makes me mad. The Johnson one makes me laugh, I think. I think that's how I square out on this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tell you what, let's retire the narrative that the Steelers are great with wide receivers and continue to find value there. I think, can we do away with that one? The most popular national narrative that drives, I think, Steelers fans insane is, of course, the Mike Tomlin is a miracle worker thing. And we have covered that ad infinitum on this show and other shows in this town, so I don't think I need to go over why it drives people here so nuts when they're in the fishbowl. I think we got to put a stop to the Steelers really figured it out and have the secret sauce with wide receivers, especially later round picks. Because you know who's doing a lot of heavy lifting on that? A person who is currently possibly not in the country, Antonio Brown, evading arrest, which kind of proves the whole point here. One of the greatest receivers in the history of the league. Literally, I don't think anybody would put him outside the top 7 or 8 to play the position. A lot of people wouldn't put him outside the top 5. I probably wouldn't even put him outside the top 3. I think there's a guy named Rice and a guy named Moss, and those are the only two I can guarantee I would say are better than Antonio Brown was. He is doing a ton of heavy lifting for that narrative, though. Chase Claypool, second rounder, good rookie year. Kicks a guy in the head in the parking lot after being a character pick out of Notre Dame. Great kid. Gone. Emmanuel Sanders ended up being solid elsewhere. Same with Mike Wallace, but they didn't do it long-term here. The Steelers prioritized AB. That was the right move. Lima Swede, not great. Known for dropping a ball and then almost killing a Ravens player with a block, but he still dropped the ball. You talk about guys that they've drafted recently. Deontay Johnson, it was pretty good until it wasn't. And then he went from a guy that I think everyone's problems were that he dropped the ball too much, but seemed like he was working hard to get better at that, to a guy who genuinely doesn't seem to care. George Pickens, mercurial. Oh, don't worry, we can rein him in. Yeah, they got pretty good out of Pickens, not great. And then it became untenable. You only deserve the reputation as a team that really has it figured out with a certain position or another if year after year, time after time, you keep churning out talent at that position headache-free. Steelers don't do that. I saw Warren Sharp tweeted more, by the way, about this Deontay Johnson thing. Did you see the rest of this, Donnie? It's incredible. He also said that Johnson, in this interview he did, admitted that he basically, quote, mentally checked out from the Ravens and the Texans. Said that the Browns were the only team to even contact him in the offseason.
What's that tell you? The Browns, who I think have a chance to yet again be the worst team in football.
Yeah, you're right. This was the comeback was the show that he was on.
See, here's the thing with him.
How do you go on if you're trying to do now? He's on a roster, right? So like he's not trying to get a job out of this interview, right, Donnie? Real quick, how do you go on though, knowing that only one team even wanted to talk to you, so your market is almost non-existent? How do you go on and just say, I quote, mentally checked out from two separate teams, including both of them are playoff teams?
Yeah, both.
The Ravens were an actual Super Bowl contender, like a serious one.
And I'd say that the Texans, even after a down year for Stroud, like they come into this year thinking that they're in like that next tier.
Sure. I don't know who the guy is who does this show, The Comeback. I feel like maybe I should recognize who it is. I couldn't do a show like this. I wouldn't be able to keep a straight face while I'm like trying to ask semi-softball questions of a guy. And he's going, yeah, I mentally checked out. I mean, and it was too cold. I was stiff in that one game. Just told him I didn't want to play.
See, everything that's happened with Johnson, though, that's only going to help the argument of, well, the Steelers got the best out of this guy because
I just don't want to hear that anymore.
They did. Like, he did have some legit good seasons here. Even that year he had zero touchdowns, he still had good numbers otherwise. 2021, he had, 1,100-plus yards. He had almost 1,000 in 2020. And last season, combined between the three teams, he had, 375, I want to say, and it was, 350 that came from the Panthers. I mean, he's very close to just being out of football or out of the league.
The way people talk, though, about their Midas touch with wide receivers, you would think, these guys literally are all pros with the Steelers. The Steelers discard them even when people are going, wow, I can't believe you got rid of that guy. He's so good. And then they turn into pumpkins immediately elsewhere. That's not what happened. Here's the problem. Now the bad stuff that used to be the Steelers get rid of him at the right time and then don't have to deal with it, the bad stuff is starting to happen while they're still on the Steelers. That's the problem. The AB thing blew up at the very tail end, right? There was stuff that happened, but they kept it not under wraps, but they dealt with it. And he still went out there and just balled out to a ridiculous degree. Now you're getting these situations well before the time it happened with AB without the production that AB gave you. That means you don't have this golden touch anymore. That means you are not the team that has figured out the position. And figured out the position really boils down to prime Roethlisberger with prime AB. Oh, and by the way, prime Le'Veon Bell running alongside as the third member of that trio, and even Martavis Bryant when he was healthy or whatever and allowed to play football. That was what was actually working. It wasn't some insane touch that they had. It was that they had a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, in my opinion, obviously, a Hall of Fame talent at running back, and a guy in Martavis who, if he could have laid off the weed until you're allowed the time of the year that when every player knows you're allowed to smoke it, legitimately had Hall of Fame ability himself, They had all four of those guys on a team that was offensively dominated. That was their Midas touch. There's no one else talks about like the Chiefs or the Bills like that. They don't say, wow, Patrick Mahomes can make any wide receiver. No, that's all it was.
And it's also kind of ironic that this year they are going at it with a different approach. I mean, never before would they have gone out and acquired somebody like DK Metcalf or paid him the money that they are paying him for the next couple of seasons. Like that's not something we would have seen. So maybe even in their own room, they're starting to like second guess the narratives that are out there against them, or not against them, about them.
And even Metcalf, though, they're getting a guy. I know Rodgers has already like vouched for him and said he leads by example and he's a good dude. He's a super passionate player, and he's nowhere near some of the headaches that Pickens caused them. But there were videos you could see of DK Metcalf getting like fed up on the sidelines of Seahawks games once in a while. Didn't happen often, but it happened. I just kind of get sick of, like, I guess what I would just call, for lack of a better term, lazy narratives that just get put out there once, they stick, and then no one ever moves off their position. It would be like having said at the end of the day, Bill Belichick just knows how to build a winner in New England, and no matter what he's got, he'll always have a winner. No, that team was ass once Tom Brady left. And people didn't keep that narrative going, though, Donnie. He got pilloried for it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
For it. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And that's where we find Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. He's brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. Mike, you know I love when we have you on, if there is a story that is a behind-the-scenes intrigue story. Those are my absolute favorite ones to dig into with you, even more so than anything Aaron Rodgers related. So it's got to be a real big deal to bump Rodgers off the marquee for the first thing I want to ask you. I know. But this race you had with Pablo Torre about this holy grail of documentation that the NFL and the NFLPA did not want to see the light of day. I'll give the summary for people that aren't familiar. Essentially, it proves that the quote here, that's the money quote from Christopher Droney, the system arbitrator, quote, "There is little question that the NFL Management Council, with the blessing of the commissioner, encouraged the 32 NFL clubs to reduce guarantees in veterans' contracts at the March 2022 annual owners' meeting," end quote. First off, can you, for people that hear that and their eyes glaze over a little bit, in the simplest terms, why should people care about this? Why is this such a big deal?
Well, the NFL got caught with its hand in the collusion cookie jar. And like all stories of dysfunction do, this one begins with the Cleveland Browns. Because it was Cleveland's decision to give Deshaun Watson a 5-year fully guaranteed contract that caused the league to freak out. Here's why. In two prior collective bargaining agreement negotiations, 2011 and 2020, the players tried to get fully guaranteed contracts for everyone. The league fought them off. So the league didn't want the teams to start giving piecemeal what they had collectively managed to get the union to back off on. So when Watson gets his fully guaranteed contract, the message to the teams is hold the rope. The message to the teams is don't be the next one to give a fully guaranteed contract. Now, it wasn't in those terms, but that was the point. The Management Council, which is the group that is responsible for herding the 32 cats that are the NFL's owners, with the blessing of the commissioner, they told the owners at the March 2022 annual meeting, just days after the Watson deal, watch it with the guarantees. And the arbitrator found that, but then, then he found that they didn't actually do it, which is, I will submit to you, the equivalent of catching the kid with his hand in the cookie jar. He's got crumbs all over his shirt. He's got a mouthful of cookie, but he tells you, I didn't eat a cookie, and you believe him. That is what the arbitrator did.
How does How is an arbitrator, you got to be a smart person, I would imagine, to be in that position. There's a lot of complicated maybe stuff you're reading through and hearing, right, and testimony or whatever. How then, in your description, does a guy who's got to be smart enough to handle that job find, oh, that person with a mouthful of cookie, they didn't eat the cookie. How does that, it's like a Jedi mind trick that was played.
Because he's smart enough to keep the job. And that's where this is a version of reality that breaks from the way things should be. These cases should be resolved in court. Now, this is part of a collective bargaining agreement, and they come up with this dispute resolution procedure so that the management never has to go to court and have a jury decide. I would submit to you there is nothing wiser than the collective wisdom of a jury and the ability to explain to a jury in very common terms and get them to understand examples like the cookie thing. Like with an arbitrator, it's all very buttoned up and A leads to B leads to C. And the arbitrator can be dismissed on the election of either side at the end of his term. So I just think at the end of the day, the arbitrator wasn't willing to say he's unwilling to accept the testimony of 25% of the league's owners that we didn't eat any cookie, even though the crumbs are all over the place and the chocolate chip stains are on their teeth.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. The Players Association also did not want this to see the light of day. Why? Because it would seem to me it makes the owners look obviously much worse in this whole situation.
Especially since there's a great imbalance in the relationship. If the crap ever hits the fan and is a work stoppage, the owners are far more willing to let it ride out for a full year than the players. The players don't want to miss a single game check. So you got to use your other tools. And this is something that the union could be and still should be using as a hammer against the NFL. From a PR standpoint, from a legal standpoint, somebody texted me yesterday who understands the workings of everything at the union. It's like, this is something you take to the Department of Justice Antitrust Division and say you should investigate them for other ways they're colluding. There should be calls for the commissioner to resign from the union. This is something where, you know, in a relationship that should be at all times adversarial to some degree. Doesn't mean you fight all the time. But if you're getting along, if labor and management are getting along, somebody's getting screwed. And in this case, the players are getting screwed because their union leadership did not take this thing and get every ounce of mileage you could out of it. And the simplest reason why, there's two. One, there's a belief that the new executive director who didn't file this, he's trying to avoid anything that feels like litigation. He's about compromise and negotiation. But secondly, J.C. Treader, who was the NFLPA president, is now an executive there, and people in the union believe he wants to become the next executive director. He said some unkind things about Russell Wilson when Wilson didn't do a fully guaranteed contract, and they didn't want that to come out because it's not a good look, yada, yada. It's a hell of a bad reason to hide this thing from your rank-and-file membership, all because you want to protect one of your executives from embarrassment.
Naturally, it all comes back somehow to Mr. Unlimited himself. Somehow he finds himself in the middle of this. Mike, just an editorial here on your part, because I do want to ask you about Rodgers. And Mike Florio is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Why do you I think this is obviously getting a ton of traction in like the avid NFL, maybe media community and some avid NFL fans. People like me are obviously very interested in this. Why do you think sometimes stories like this don't resonate the way maybe we on the inside who cover the league to one degree or another think that they should with the casual fan who's flopping down on the couch every Sunday to watch 11 straight hours of football?
I think because most people don't want their enjoyment of football to be disrupted by things other than football, and they don't want to be reminded it's fundamentally a business. You know, when I was a kid and I was a big pro wrestling fan and my dad was trying to tell me it was fake, I'd get pissed at him even though I knew he was probably right. The same thing happens with football fans. When you try to tell them, hey, it's ultimately a business, and that owner that's telling you he's trying to win a Super Bowl is just trying to get you to show up and give him your money. It's all a business. It's all they care about at the end of the day. Yeah, they'd like to win a trophy so they can have bragging rights with their buddy as they're floating around on their super yachts, but they're just taking you for every dollar they can get. And this is an example of how it is. It's all about leverage. It's about money. It's about power. And it's hard to get fans interested, but I've been amazed because I can't keep track of all the requests I've gotten the past 2 days. Now, it's slow, which helps, but people who have radio shows and podcasts, they want to talk about this. I think they understand it's a big deal. I think it's the biggest sports legal ruling since the baseball collusion case of 94.
That's a mouthful given
some... And it was hidden for 5.5 months.
Well, that's a mouthful to say that last part, and I would trust your judgment, of course, more than mine, just when you think of some of the NCAA stuff that's happened with name, image, and likeness. So it sounds like you think that there's a chance,
professional
though.
Professional sports.
Okay, pro sports.
Professional sports.
Okay. I mean, I'm...
You're right.
See me, the guy who's a lot more cynical about this than I was, say, 20 years ago when I was but a half-drunk college student watching these games, I kind of want to see fireworks here, and I hope there's more on that front coming, but... We'll see.
And there may be. Look, I was told yesterday that multiple players are talking to folks about what their options are, and the league could have issues here. The union could have liability to the players for hiding this thing because there's a 50-day window to file a grievance of your own. If there's a player out there who says, hey, I wanted a fully guaranteed contract, and I didn't get one, and I see that they told the teams to do it, I'm going to file my own grievance. Because they hit it for 5.5 months, the 50-day window's expired. That guy's screwed. That guy could now sue the union for duty of fair representation breach and say, you owe me what I would have gotten from the league. So this thing could get ugly if the players choose to make it so.
Before we let you go, Mike, I would be remiss if I did not bring an Aaron Rodgers topic to the table. He goes on Pat McAfee yesterday, says he is pretty sure this is it. That's why he signed a one-year deal. I want to go out with joy and happiness and love. In basically admiration and celebration of my own lengthy NFL career. What's your read on what this might mean for how things go with the Steelers this year, given that he's not thinking about anything else but this year and then it's all over for him, at least in his own words it will be?
I keep going back to his words. It's pretty much sure he's pretty sure it's his last year. I mean, anyone would have said that. We're pretty sure it's his last year. Okay, fine. My concern goes back to something I may have said to you guys earlier. He shouldn't be doing McAfee this year. He said also in the conversation that once he's retired, he's disappearing, he's gone, we'll never hear from him again. Then why are we hearing from him now?
Because he chose to be in the public eye. He spent 41 minutes trying to thread the most unbelievable needle imaginable.
Yeah, just be quiet, show up for training camp. Do your Wednesday and post-game press conferences. Don't do McAfee. Don't do anything if you truly aren't interested in attention. He is the guy who wants attention under a very specific set of circumstances. He doesn't want to go out in the street and say, hey, everybody, look at me. Right? He doesn't want to wear the flashy jewelry and drive the flashy car. He wants to be a mystery. He wants to be not around, and he knows in his absence and in his silence, people will talk about him. So I mean... Bah, that's all I'll say.
Bah.
As my dad would say. To quote my dad, bah.
I don't think there's a better exit point for us than you saying bah to Aaron Rodgers. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. We always enjoy it. Talk to you next week, Mike.
See you, man.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.